Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. This is Ariel Strawman, and I'm back again to continue my thought from yesterday. The thought I shared was without excuse, and we want to continue the thought and look at a couple of more characters in the Old Testament. So let's just say a short word of prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy that are new every morning, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that this little short message that you have given me to share with the people, Lord, that it can be a help and an encouragement and just help us, Lord, to press on, Lord, in whatever you have for us today and the coming days and the coming times ahead of us, Lord. I pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, yesterday we looked at Jesus when he was invited to the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, where he shared a parable. And also we looked at the calling of Moses. Now in book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 15 to 16, I'm just going to read those two verses. And it's the Lord calling Gideon. And he said to him, verse 15, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." So Gideon's excuse was his clan or his lineage was the weakest, and he himself was the least of his family. Pretty good excuse, I would say. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1 and then from verse 4 to 10. Verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So here we see Jeremiah is already a son of a priest, meaning it's accepted or expected for him to be a priest as well, like the law requires. Verse 4, the call of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Oh Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I've put my words in your mouth. And see, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to build, and to plant." Now, what was Jeremiah's excuse? He was too young. That's relevant. Who would listen to a youngster? "And I can't speak." That's also relevant. Who would want to listen to someone who's bad with words or stutters or so the point is of giving these examples, also with Moses. And also in dealing with this thought overall, you know, is that all these excuses, they're all good excuses. And it's really, it's acceptable and okay to feel these feelings about oneself. But the thing is, still the Lord won't accept it. Why? When you're weak, when you're small, when you don't have words, These are all natural, well, attributes that we need to utter words or to speak up, and to be bold, and it wasn't within them. But what did God say to Gideon? But I will be with you. Then you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And like Jeremiah, the Lord said to him, I am with you to deliver you. And even put his hand on his mouth. And he said, I will put words in your mouth. So the Lord is going to do all the work. Now, if I was asked any of these tasks, I probably would have answered the same way. Like them, I would also think that, you know, I'm not made for something greater. They thought they were not gifted enough as to take upon themselves these tasks and challenges. Well, I would feel the same way. And I do, and you probably too. But that is only true if we take God out of the equation. He's the one that is going to do it. We just have to listen and obey and not make up things to do or things to say. It's not going to come from our efforts. It's not going to come from our vocabulary or our brains. We're just going to be vessels, tools, mouthpieces. And, you know, if it was from one friend to another, from one family member to another, or one neighbor to another who asks things of us in the natural, everyone would have accepted their recline, but not the Lord. He knows you. He knows me. He knows every character of his creation and in the scriptures, who's alive, who's been alive, better than we all know ourselves. He knows our limitations. He knows our weaknesses. And that's where his strength comes in. And that's the beauty of it. How the Lord will call us after we accepted Christ as our Savior. He's called each and every one of us to do a work for him, great or small. And like I said yesterday, to have this humble approach when God is dealing with us is the reason he's calling us in the first place. When we are not good enough, when we do not have the vocabulary, the speech, and all these gifts and talents. Because then God can come in and he can do it, the work. He can get all the glory. It's like if you take a doctor who will have his scalpel opening up a patient to do an operation. You and me, we're not the doctor. We're that scalpel. And then we're used to cut open. We're placed back on the shelf. We're cleaned up, and waiting for the next operation. And the patient, after waking up from his sleep and the operation is finished, he will not ask the nurse for the scalpel. Where's the scalpel so I can give thanks to the scalpel? No, he will ask for the doctor. Where's the doctor? I want to meet him. I want to greet him. I want to thank him. The scalpel is just a tool in the doctor's hand, just like you and I. We're a vessel, we're a tool in the hands of God. And if he calls us, we have no excuse. So may God bless you with this short little message. And I'll be back tomorrow morning and share some more with you. God bless you and have a wonderful and a great day. Amen.